Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
In Jesus' name. Okay, so open your Bible very quickly to Ezekiel in chapter 11. Ezekiel 11. I want to read a very important verse to you. Ezekiel 11 in chapter, from verse 1. The Message Bible, please. The Message Bible. Ezekiel 11. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Okay. Do we project on the screen? Okay. Ezekiel 11. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward. And there at the door of the gate were 25 men. 25 men standing at the gate. I recognized the leaders, Jezaniah son of Azur and Palathiah son of Benaniah. God said, "Son of man, these are the men who draw up blueprints for sin, who think up new programs for evil in the city." These are the men. So the sin you see in the city and the evil you see in the city are not just happenstance. They are designs. Human beings are sitting down to design the experience of sin and evil in the culture. They say, "We can make anything happen here. We are the best. We are the choice pieces of meat in the soup pot." Now hear what the Lord said. "Oppose them, son of man. Preach against them. Oppose them." I'm going to be speaking to you today about the future of now, the future of today, and how you can sit up in that. I'm going to do it as fast as I can. I may overshoot the time a little bit, but I will try my best because I know we have some things lined up today. So I will do my best to make sure that we finish on time. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This time, New King James Version. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 4. "One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." Next verse. "The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose." Go. "The wind goes towards the south and turns around the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that have come by those coming after." Go. "I, the preacher, was king over Jerusalem." Go. "And I set my heart to search, to seek out by wisdom concerning all that is done under the heaven. I was king over Israel in Jerusalem, but I did not limit my spirit to the dimension of my geography. Even though I was in a small geography called Jerusalem, still I had an unlimited spirit and mind that can travel beyond the limits of my local geography. So I was king over Israel in Jerusalem, yet I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done in Jerusalem. And I'm asking, all that is done under the heavens. Now, this bodhisattva task of searching and seeking all that is done under the heavens, this task is burdensome, and God has given this task to the sons of man. For what reason? So that they may be exercised. One translation says, so that they may be maximized. Amen. Hallelujah. Lastly, if I have time, I'll go there. If I don't have time, I already said scripture. You all know the Tower of Babel. You all know the story. Maybe I should just read it real quick. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. From verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and break them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Why do we need to make a name for ourselves? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. That's why they wanted a name for themselves. And that's why they wanted to go up. They wanted to make a name for themselves and go up to heaven. Why? Because they did not want to scatter over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men have built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Go. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Go. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Amen. So Jesus, this is your time. You don't challenge us, you just change us, make us better. We give you this moment, do what only you can do. Shifts in the spirit, precision, clarity, understanding. When we know better, we do better. Thank you for grace. Thank you for strength. Thank you for the strength of your word, the integrity of your word. Thank you for transformation today. New vistas, new frontiers, new understanding, new power, new influence. In the name of Jesus. Clear shift from point A to point B. Whatever those points are for everybody here today, for those watching online, for those who will listen to this another day, we receive it in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, can I step down? I can? Great. So guys, there are so many things you have to understand about your faith as children of God. A lot of it you have to understand and deploy intentionally. They are not going to happen coincidentally. And so there is a clarity inside of you that will set you apart and put you in the group of those who know. You see, you can't hope that you know. You have to know that you know. You can't assume that you know. Assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. His twin is guessing. You have to be clear, on point, every time, particularly as young people. Your generation maybe will be the greatest we have ever known. Maybe. But every generation must show up to live out the meaning of its own reality or to betray it. You will make that choice. There's so much being said about your generation. Gen Z, Gen Z, Gen Z. Millennials, millennials, millennials. Well, in every generation, no matter how stupid, no matter how wise, there will always be fools and there will always be wise people. Foolishness is a constant, as wisdom is. In fact, somebody must be foolish for wisdom to continue to have value. If anybody is wise, wisdom will be useless. The idea of value is rarity. If wisdom is not rare, if wisdom is common, everybody will try to be foolish, because it's foolishness that will have been rare. If foolishness was a rare experience, people would be planning to be foolish. The reason why everybody is planning to be wise is because wisdom is rare. A lot of people are not wise. Foolishness is a state of existence. It means there is a set of behavior that conforms to a definition. And as you cannot call a carpenter a surgeon, you can't call a wise person a foolish person, in the name of positive confession. That's why Apostle Paul did not confess positive. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." They were foolish. They were acting in a way consistent with the meaning of foolishness. They couldn't have been called wise. So a lot of people are fools. Some of our friends are fools. They are handsome fools. They are 6 foot tall, broad-chested, empty minds. You see? You can put a beautiful wig on an empty brain. Trust me. You can make up anything. You can make up a teddy bear. You can make up a mannequin. You can do that. And it will look so nice. How much more a human being? So rubbish can be packaged. And there's a big difference between content and container. And most of the people you see every day, you don't know them. What you see is container. It's not content. When you pay for Coca-Cola, the advertisement says Coca-Cola liquid content only. They put it only there as a very important word, to remind you that the drink is what you are paying for, not the bottle. The bottle belongs to Coca-Cola. You own the drink. When you are done with the drink, you leave the bottle. Are we on the same page? And even if it's a can, you will swallow the can. So whichever way, it's still the drink that you are paying for. So at the end of the day, it's content that matters. And today I'm going to be speaking to your content, not container. The armed robbers who robbed me some years ago were quite handsome. That was the day I lost respect for handsomeness, because I realized it's a gift of nature. Any fool can be handsome. So you can't drive your life by how you look. Look at you. Everything people see on you has a lifespan. Oh, you won't look like this forever. Young people always forget that. You are going to change. Look, every morning when I wake up, I must do some exercises. If I want to stand like this at a particular age, it's wear and tear. My back is screaming at a level. There's so much changing. I'm seeing them. There are some things I'm seeing on my body. This is old age. It's coming on you. You see, when you see old people walking this way, or you see somebody walking this way, or his leg is turned this way, it's because at a particular age, every part of your body will gain independence. And each one will be doing and going to where they wish, not where you want. So this leg says, "I'm going here." This leg says, "This is where I'm going." The neck says, "I want to turn." The brain says, I want to look at this face. That's why you don't see the person like this. That is independent body organs. It's going to happen to you. Oh, yeah. It's like death. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. At some point, you have to go. Whether you are raptured or you actually give up the ghost. If death is sure, the question really is not about whether you are afraid of it or not. If it is sure, what kind of person ought you to be? That's the question, because it's going to visit you one day. There is no power in the grave. There is no seniority. Nobody says, I came before you. Come on, move here. You know, I came. This is the grave. Well, who are you? There's nothing like that. There are places where there's nothing called seniority or structure. The grave is one of them. Coffin, mortuary. There's no boss. There's no style. You go to the mortuary, you see young girls. You can't say, boys are coming, boys are coming. Come on, your body. They can't do that. Hello? So you got to begin to curate your life experiences from a different perspective. Everything has to be about what I call CIA, credible independent actions. You have to understand that. Nobody gave birth to you to be walking like this. Your mom didn't walk like this. Your dad didn't say, hey, you, man, what's up? Your dad didn't do that. Nobody in your lineage were doing this. Nobody in your lineage. Your daddy walked like this. Your mom walked like this. It's you who is doing, hey, yo, man. I call a young man one day. I say, what are you picking here? Because I don't understand. Why was you be doing? I don't know. Is there something itchy? Why are you picking? Yo, man. I say, what is the problem there? Do you see how girls get angry? Everyone, all girls get angry the same way. Have you heard about a gamma lizard before? What permission are you seeking? Why must the neck move? Can't you get angry like this and say, I don't like what you are doing? Why must it be? You know why? Hollywood. Hollywood helps us to talk the same way, get angry the same way, dress the same way, shake the same way, dance the same way. It's funny how everybody just begins to dance the same way. Do you know that none of your dance steps came from heaven? Like natural? Like everybody just woke up, just know how to dance it. Do you know somebody sat down as he's releasing the album? They were creating the dance that will go with it. And they had in their mind that 4.2 billion black people will plug into this dance. And you were in your house just sleeping. But somebody was already planning the next level of excitement. And they are not just planning it as an independent experience. They are planning it with a monetization program. So they are renting a space in your head, in your heart, in your pocket, without your consent. So everything is designed. Did you apply for phones? Did you say, please, I want GSM? Okay, so I'm speaking to Gen Z for the most part. You may not know. As at 1990, our lives were so slow, we didn't even know. You don't understand? If you want to go from here to see your uncle, is this Metama? This is not Metama, right? Central area. This is Central area. Where is the next one? Let's say Asokoro. Am I correct? No. I need somewhere. Wuse. You want to go from here to Wuse to greet your uncle. You are going to get to Wuse first to find out that he just left 2 minutes ago. You see, you can't do that. You have precision. You have precision engineering because you can just text. Uncle, are you home? Yes, before you move. You save time. You save energy. You save cost. In our own time, where your age, we are going to go to Use. We will now knock the door and say, ah, your uncle, you didn't see him. He just left like 4 minutes ago. People can travel like that to Kano to go and find out that uncle is dead safe. He's dead. He died 3 days ago. If a has not come down. I kid you not. People will now move from to Ikorodu. You will get to, you will travel to Enugu. And they will tell you that, Uncle Chuku, look, come, let's go outside. It should still be. You can just drive past each other like this. But GSM changed that whole game. It brought speed into our lives. It brought precision. Because on the way to there, you can even have an accident. You can lose your leg. You can die. You save all of that with a text message. Uncle, are you home? Pump. Less than a second is there. Real time. And he's talking back to you. If you care, you can video him right there. Even if it's in Japan. Right there, you can, boom, what's up? You don't understand. There's something called valedictory services when secondary school students are leaving school. Did you go through it? Were you crying when you were leaving? I'll tell you why you didn't cry. You see, in our own generation, when we are leaving school, secondary school, we cry. Our tears knows no bound. You know why? There's one song that breaks all of us down. Lord be with you till we meet again. You are singing. You don't even know what you are singing. Once they start that song, you know why we cry? We know that indeed God be with you. Because the chances of us seeing again is so slim. We might never see again. For real. So our tears are real. So we hold that for real. Lord be with you till we be again. Maybe inside obituary, the newspaper are going to know about you again. Nothing connected us. Nothing. There are no telephones. Even if you have a telephone, there's no guarantee that the other guy has a telephone. And the telephone is a weapon. It's about half of this thing. They can kill you with it. You die off. I kid you not. This phone in your hands, do you know how many gadgets are inside this phone? In our own time, to have all this in this phone, you will need about this space. Because you have fax machine, you have printer, you have scanner, you have camera, you have TV, you have calendar, you have speaker, notes, alarm, calculator, all of them in one device. In our own life, we have to pack it. So, to have this thing in our time, we pack it. We create room for it. By nanotechnology, boom. Listen. Whether you like it or not, the world has changed and is still changing. But it is human beings who are sitting down to design the experience you are having. You think you are making decisions, but you are not making decisions. Your choices are arrested by the options they manifest. You know when you want to vote in Nigeria, they say, go and get your PVC. Get your PVC. Nobody take your vote. Nobody must chance your vote. Die than sell your vote. You must stay there, fight, resist anything. Never sell your vote. Your vote is your power. First of all, the strength of vote is choice. I hope you do. What is the power of your choice when you are choosing between three fools? No, I want to know. How powerful is that vote when you are going to only choose one of four fools? Because you forgot that there's something stronger than choice. It's called the emergence of options. So, any day, election is inferior to party administration. Because party administration is the brewer of the options.
Yes.
And the options arrest your choice. Once they decide who the candidates are, your choice is limited. You can only choose from available options. And if you have four options that are fools, your vote is for a foolish vote. Because you are now using a powerful choice on the second base. The first base is how the options emerge.
Yes.
So you can't tell me I want to change Nigeria and you neglect party administration.
Yes.
And you are camping around votes. Wow. Options are powerful. The reason why the lion has not shaved is because he can't create option. He can shave. It's just that the capacity to say, why am I like this? Only human beings can do that. It's called reasoning, self-questioning, evaluating. The difference between the jungle and the city is self-evaluation. Do you know you were naked in the jungle like lions before? How many of you know that lions are naked? You know all animals in the jungle are naked. Just that you are not supposed to be interested in that nakedness. But every animal in the jungle is naked. Like we were also naked before. What separate? We were all in the jungle before. At least we were in one garden. And garden don't have sofas. It's all trees. But because we could reason and they could not, their condition has remained as it was. We said, why must we be naked? First of all, why must we even eat this apple? This fruit they say, which, you know, must we know? Let's test it. That's the human mind. That's the gift of the human condition. They question everything. And so even against their maker, they questioned it. They took the fruit. From there, we can cover our body. Why must we remain this way? And then it's raining. Must we be taking? Can't we change something? Let's use leaves. From leaves to hamlet, from hamlet to village, and then we were separated from the jungle, little by little, from village to town, from town to city, from city to mega city, and then we continued. Hello? The reason why the lion has remained like that with all his beards, because he couldn't do that. He couldn't say enough is enough. Only you can do that. Options are powerful. The education is not time in the classroom. You now know that first in class is not necessarily first in life. And I'm not asking you not to go to school. But know that school is not your critical success factor. School is a value-added experience. It is not the experience. When you are educated, first of all, there is academics, which is what you are taught. And everything academics is laced with an agenda. Anything with a curriculum is a human invention. If it's a human invention, there's a human agenda. That at the end of this curriculum, you are going to be this type of person. When you pass through this course, this is who you will be. You see what I'm saying? So the more school you attend, the more endangered your authenticity is. I'm not saying don't go to school, but a rebellion must be inside of you that is receiving everything but also questioning everything and then compartmentalizing everything to choose the one critical for your unique journey. If you take in everything, you become something else. You will become the exact opposite of what God wants, the exact replica of what the agenda designers of that curriculum want. The curriculum in Nigerian schools is to make you good employees. And there's nothing wrong with being an employee. Let's be clear. Because everybody in this life, you are either a Moses or an Aaron. If you are a Moses, you are sent to the people. If you are an Aaron, you are sent to a Moses. You need to be clear about that. Everybody cannot be an entrepreneur. I know you heard it, everybody should be an entrepreneur. You can't be rich working for somebody. You can be rich working for somebody. I can give you tons and tons of people who have been rich working for somebody. tons who are multimillionaires. There are people who are millionaires already in Facebook, in Google. They are staff members. They are millionaires already.
That's true.
And I can give you icons in history. Jack Welch. William McKnight. In fact, the first staff of a company to become a billionaire was a man called Roberto Goizueta. Roberto Goizueta is the first staff of a company to become a billionaire. He resigned as the CEO of Coca-Cola. You could check it online. Roberto Goizueta, first staff in the world record. Employee who became a billionaire in dollars. So don't be deceived. In Nigeria, we have many. Christopher Akolade became a very successful man. Kabadio Anosode, Felix Uhiwere. We could go on and on. There are so many. So you can be rich working for someone. You have to know your own game, know your own craft, know your own design, and what you are built to do. Eric Schmidt, when he resigned as CEO of PepsiCo, became CEO of Google. When he was resigning, he was given $100 million as a gift. I've called my friends who are CEOs. Since you've been working as a CEO, have you made $100 million? You want to be a CEO? It's not difficult. Just buy a pack of sweets, take a chair, and sit in front of your house. You are the CEO. That Malam outside there is a CEO. If you go to my friend, enough CEOs. Selling one small paper, selling bread. So it's not by title, though. I now have business card. That's not what makes me see you. Somebody said, just start. I said, so you can be in humble beginning forever. Say, though that beginning was small, that head should increase. It's not must. Should is a state, is a word of possibility. It can. God giving you receiving. God playing his part, you playing your part, it can increase. It may not, you can be in humble beginning for the rest of your life. You won't be the first. Jesus said, the poor you always have. So that's a stamp. Meaning that this is the possibility in the human condition. So it's not just the girls go and start. You have to start a process end to end. It declares the end from the beginning. Just don't jump. Boom, let me start. Let's also start. No. But let's come back to it. So people are sitting down to design stuff. But no matter what you learn in academics, you must graduate and keep education in your life. Education has changed the world. Gave us merchant banking. Went to the moon. Built the pyramid. Gave us artificial intelligence. Gave us the internet. What is education? It's not academics. Academic is what you are taught. Education is what you teach yourself. Education is the ability of the human spirit or the human soul or the human life to do four things. Experience his world, question it deep enough to find the options that exist in it, and to know which of those options to embrace as a matter of supreme importance and urgency. That's education. I'll take it again. Education is the ability of the human spirit to experience four things. Education is the ability of the human spirit to experience his world, to question it deep enough to find the options that exist in it, and to know which of those options to embrace as a matter of supreme importance and urgency. All of those fun things the dog cannot do, lions cannot do, giraffe cannot do. Only a human. Experience your world. Question it deep enough to give birth to options, and to know which of those options to choose. Options. So I don't like Facebook, it's everybody's game. I prefer Instagram. Well, we are paying the same person. His name is Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg. That's the person you are paying. I'm even tired of social media. I just prefer my WhatsApp. We are paying the same person still. I think I like this. You know, Twitter is too combative. I don't like Instagram. Facebook, everybody's market. Facebook. WhatsApp is too popular for my use. I think I'll stay with Thread. The same person. I don't like Toyota, I prefer Lexus. It's the same company you are paying. If you like buy Toyota, buy Lexus, you are paying the same company. You see what I'm saying? Cowbell is too watery, I don't like it. I prefer Peak Milk. You are paying the same company. They studied it. This one is more affordable for the poor. You keep this one for those who can afford it. Anyone you choose us. Real power is not partisan. It takes a stake in the options. Whichever one you choose us. I'm Democrat, I'm Republican. Real power is neither the two. He will invest here, he will invest here. Anyone you choose me. APC, PDP is one party. APC, PDP, Labour is one party. I don't know how we think in this country. Somebody was vice president under PDP, or ran as vice president under PDP. He believed in it. Then he ran under Atiku, his current... And then 3 months before the election started, he was still there in the PDP. Then all of a sudden, he leaves the PDP to join Labour and is your savior. Wow. I don't get. Obedient, obedient, obedient. There's something called confident ignorance.
Yes.
When you know nothing but you are not aware, so you carry your ignorance with class and swag, you are still ignorant. And I know some of you, you're already angry. You are not on Twitter. Ooh, you are not in church. This is not. If you Twitter, you begin to tear me to pieces. You drag me here, drag me here, drag me here. If you really understand, if you really understand, you pray for Nigeria more. Your salvation is not in APC. It's not in PDP, and it's not in Labour. You have to pray that the hand of God helps you. But the branding is so powerful. Do I support APC? I didn't. Go and check my tweet. What I said is that this dynamic, Nigeria has come to a maturity now. Whoever became our president, it will not be business as usual. It didn't matter to me if it was Obi. It didn't matter to me if it was Tinubu or Atiku. I didn't care. What is the play going on now transcends the human beings in the office. The office itself has matured by the pain and the struggle of its people and on the character of its youths. A new game has begun. Whoever becomes president will have to be accountable to that spirit. So we are on. Am I causing trouble for you? This is church. Let's discuss the word of God. So open your mind and hear God. Am I speaking to you? So somebody sat down and said, your life is slow. You didn't know. Your life was normal. You were doing what you do every day, playing your normal life. Or somebody said, no, your life is slow. We need to fix it and bring some speed. Save you some money. Save you some time. Save you some energy. How do we do that? GSM. Boom. They brought it to you. GSM. And it just fit into your life. You didn't apply for GSM. You didn't apply for tablets. You didn't apply for smartphones. You didn't apply for it. You didn't even know that you needed it. They just displayed it and it fit into your life. You think it's coincidence? It's science. Every time you press, have you seen Social Dilemma on Netflix? Please, I beg you, in God's name, young people, if you don't have Netflix, find a friend that has it. Go and sit in their house and watch Social Dilemma so that you can understand the dilemma that you are in. Every like you press on social media is not mistake. Everything is programmed. Every time you wake up in the morning, you open that, you go. How many times have you said, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to read my Bible? I'm done with this social media. The next morning, you're already on. I didn't read my Bible. It's auto response. Somebody is playing you like like they are typing something and getting the result on the screen. That's how they are typing you. All of those things are not mistakes. When I was growing up, when we are leaving school, we don't even know where anybody is anymore. We don't know. So when somebody buys a house, we don't know. When he gets married, we don't know. Except we are cousins or we are neighbors. When he leaves the country, we don't know. When he gives birth to a baby, we don't know. When he builds his biggest house, we are not aware. In your generation, time is compressed. Privacy is arrested. Public is reinvented. When I was growing up, when they say we are in public, we are physically in front of everybody. When we say we are in a private space, nobody is where we are. In your own time, there's no difference between private and public. You can be in your bedroom and the whole world is watching you. You can be in your restroom and the whole world can be watching you from there. So privacy is now reinvented by technology. In your time, while I don't know when he builds his house, when he buys a belt, in your own time, you will know. Because he will go on Insta Live. Belting life. Belto. Belto panic. He will now show you the belt. Belto pee. And put it on social media. Even when he's eating food, he takes a picture. It's unimaginable for my generation. I've never taken a picture of my food before. I can't imagine it. It's not wrong, but please enjoy yourself. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not in our own reality. So now, you maybe you're still struggling to tomorrow you are trusting God that I have to go and eat shawarma next week. Once I have to put some money together as a student, just go to your friend's page. Shawo. You see shawarma all over the place. Live in. You see? Right in your bedroom, you see, in our own time, to be envious of somebody, you have to be in proximity. And then when you are in proximity, you have to arrest your attitude. Because everybody can see you. So that also slows down the energy of envy. But in your generation, nobody needs to be there. From your bedroom, Ajayiti Kole. Femi has bought a car. John is now married. Even Lola now has a baby. And you are free to express. You can cry. Nobody is seeing you. So you are dipping. So studies have shown that the Instagram is the number one brewer of envy. Because you can now monitor everybody's progress from your bedroom and compare them to yourself. Am I talking to you? So the technology has changed everything. And it's still changing everything. But the idea is that it's not just changing by itself. Human beings are the architects of that change. And they are planning how you will think, how you will sleep, how you will wake up. It's called culture shaping. So culture shaping is five things. When product, service, ideas shape how you live, how you love, how you play, how you walk, and how you die. I'll take it again. When products, service, and ideas change the way you live, the way you love, the way you walk, the way you play, and the way you die. That's culture shaping. So call it Facebook, call it Microsoft, call it Google, call it Coca-Cola, call it Pepsi, call it Toyota. They are all impacting on 1, 2, 3, 4, or the 5. They are all impacting on computer games, anything, the TV, the microphone, they are all impacting on how you live, or how you work, or how you love, or how you play, or how you die. That's all they're doing. That is what you want to do as well to be relevant. Please stay with me. Pastor, can I take some extra minutes more? I'm trying to be fast, because I still know we have dedication. So I'm going to run as fast as I can. Right? So, When you then read in Ezekiel that there are 25 men at the gate, that gate is a constant. There are gates in every nation. Hollywood is a gate. Do you know that Hollywood is more powerful than probably even the U.S. Army?
Yes.
Do you know that some other countries have to retrain their army to give them a real picture of the U.S. soldier? Because from when your soldier was a child, he has been watching Delta Force Commando. One man, we just land in one country, bah, kill all the soldiers. That's how he grew up. So he has a overblown, overrated image of the U.S. Marine. U.S. Marine is an invasion. So Hollywood does that job. They've rented the space in the head. So they don't need to rent it. Think about you. You have to train your own army to think about them. That's why all young people look the same way. Look at me. At 52, look at my hair. I'm getting bald. You have to get creative. Okay. It's Hollywood that allows us to know that we can move in this direction. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing you are experiencing that is coincidence. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you swag, the way you move, the way you greet, all of these things are all culture instruments. And they are all invented. The way you dance, everything. So those guys at the gates are in every country. They are in Nigeria, they are everywhere. And because of what I do, I have the privilege of mentoring a lot of A-list artists, actors, and guiding and advising and supporting. And I used to sit on the record label, right? And I see how culture moves. I see it every day, all day. So, what kind of person ought you to be in the midst of so much curation going on? If you go back to Genesis, in chapter 1, 26, the Bible was speaking about dominion. And it said that he has made man in his image, in his likeness, and he has given him dominion over everything. The fish of the air, the birds of the air, sorry, the fish of the sea, the cattle, everything, he has dominion over them, except his fellow human beings. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But that dominion is not a Christian inheritance. That dominion did not exist because of Christians like you and I. As at Genesis chapter 1, there was no Christian on earth. So dominion is the gift on the human condition, not the Christian condition. Every human being on the face of the earth has dominion. Hello? You don't have dominion because you are a Christian. Once you are human, born of a woman, you have dominion. When the Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, he wasn't talking to Christians. He was talking to human beings. When he said, you have dominion, God blessed them. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and all of that. He was talking to human beings. Come. So every human being has dominion. Every human being. So this is every human being in the world. There are three parts to this guy. The first part to him is his visible parts. His eyes, his beard, his hands, everything we can see on him right now. His nose, his ears, his hair, there are visible parts. Everybody's got that. That's container. Then there's another part to him, which is second dimension. His visible, tangible, but covered parts. Right? That's his intestine, his liver, his kidney, his heart. If we cut him into pieces, we can see it, we can touch it, but they are covered. Are we together? The difference between those and his eyes and his hands is that this one is open, those ones are covered. Then there's a third dimension, his reasoning. Those are his invisible, intangible parts. You can't touch them, you can't see them, they don't live in an address, they don't wear clothes, they don't spray perfume. You don't see them, but they govern those first two. They can destroy those first two. For example, his strength of thinking. You feel them, but you don't see them. His reasoning, you don't see them. His dominion, you don't see them. So dominion is to the human being what his reasoning is, like his thinking. It's part of his design. It's not what he gets because he prayed to Jesus. You didn't pray to have your hands. It's a gift of nature, right? You didn't pray for your nose. It's a gift of nature. You didn't pray for your kidney. It was a gift of nature. Your nails, your hair, your beards, gifts of nature. Dominion is a gift of nature to every human being. Let's be clear. Ah, but he lost it. You know, when man sinned, he lost it. No, he never lost it. When man sinned, did the Bible say you are cursed? Did God curse man?
No.
What did he curse? The ground. So everything on man remained intact. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So this is how it was. Before the fall, he used to have access to this thing. Easy access. But when he wants it, he just picks it. It's always in proximity. Access. Ease was his experience before the fall. After the fall, this thing is now somewhere in the audience. Say, behind her. Move forward a bit. Press it down. That's what it is. But you don't know. So after the fall, now you need that thing. So in toil, you now eat. That's hustle. You don't have hustle. Stop hustling.
Yes, sir.
You are not designed to hustle. Stop saying, my hustle. You mean you have yours? Hustling is a consequence of the fall.
Yes.
You are not designed to hustle. Ease is your destiny. Don't join the world in their cluelessness and struggle in a godless life, interpreting their reality, and you are dimensioning your own power to the level of your own ignorance. They should hustle because they are still suffering from the consequence of the fall. You are redeemed from it. So in this state, fallen state, he needs that thing. So he's now guessing and assuming. Maybe it's here. 3 weeks has gone. No, it's not there. Maybe it's here. 3 months has gone. Maybe it's here. 2 years. He's just trying to find that thing. What he used to find in less than a second. Ah, okay, let's pray. Let's see what we are going to do. Let me call my uncle. Connection, bribery, you know, a few hands under our blouse. He goes there, okay, no. Oh, then finally, after 8 months, he found it. Boom. He will still find it. But look at all that hustle. He can even lose his life in the process. He can lose his dignity, his honor. He can lose his meaning, his sense of wonder. He can lose everything trying to find this thing. That is what happened in the garden. The ground was cursed. Ground refused to yield. And now you have to fight the ground to yield. In Christ Jesus, you are redeemed from that. You are back to ease.
Yes.
So you don't pursue your dreams anymore. It's motivational speaking. You position for them. Right? Goodness and mercy. This is how we read that scripture. Goodness and mercy shall be before you to be pursued all the days of your life. That's how we read the scripture. Meanwhile, that's not what it is. This is goodness and mercy. This is you. Goodness and mercy. Because you think it's there, goodness and mercy is here. You think it's there, so you are chasing it, and it's chasing you. For 25 years, you've been chasing each other, missing each other, finding him where he has left to look for you, finding you where you have left to look for it. Or this is how the scripture actually is. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. You position yourself. It doesn't follow you for a while. Not when you are strong, not when you are weak. On your best day, on your worst day, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days. All the days. Each and every day, goodness and mercy is looking for you. So you don't pursue it, you receive it. You position to receive it. But you see, you can't really get this drift if you don't understand the why for what God is reading in your life. So to really sit in the culture, you have to understand the culture. The culture is making a hell of a money from you. They're telling you what to do, how to do it. They're telling you how to talk to your dad, how to speak to your mom, how to relate with your pastor, how to behave in church. The culture is tough. The culture has its own language. And the culture is controlled by the media, especially entertainment, the universities, the schools, not the government. The government itself is under the control of the culture. That's why when you sit in this room, you sit anywhere, you are shouting, somebody's come and save you. There is no country that has been transformed by politicians. There's not one. America documented there. Oh, there's a documentary called The Men Who Built America. Google it, go and look for it. They didn't say the political party who built it. The men who built it is entrepreneurs and innovators and non-profits that built countries, non-politicians and non-politics. The problem in Nigeria is everybody's waiting for one person to save you. You are your own savior. It is the person that is well that can donate blood. When you are sick, who can you give your blood? You are calling sick people to come and help you. And endangered species who have not curated their own peace. They are going to come and set you your own peace. You abandon all your own capacity and delegate your own stability to the hand of one person in a country of 200 million people. It's sickness, as far as I'm concerned. Go to America. Google, Microsoft. Look at those giants. Are they owned by politicians? The private sector creates ideas. The government does only two things: regulate and tax. Societies are changed in the private sector. In any country, all the energy you are using on Twitter to be APC, it's Tinubu, it's Tinubu. You better go and sit down in your house and start thinking. It's Obi, I'm obedient. No, me, I'm articulated. At the end of the day, you have only three assets. Nobody wants you in this country, just in case you don't know. Your assets is three: this hand, this brain, under God. All this you're jumping around. The next time you need to pay your bill, go and show them your TikTok account. Say, are you the bank? Say, look, I've been supporting Atiku for the past, I've made 26 tweets so far. Can I have $2,000? They will jail you. So I believe in APC. Me and APC, we are one. Look, everything. I'm obedient. Obey what? You better be obedient to the ideas in God that will define your own destiny and take your seat in your future. Take a stake under the sun. Hello? Back to the ideas. So, there are basic things that you have to understand about your journey. Now, the culture is busy, forever busy. There are basic things as well you cannot do in the culture. You can't criticize the culture. You can't condemn the culture. You cannot consume the culture. And you cannot control the culture. You can only do two things with the culture: create the culture or shape it. Hello? You create popular culture or you shape it. There's no point criticizing it. If you don't like it, create your own. I don't like rap. People rapping like this, people sagging. Look, nobody put a gun to your head to sag. If you don't like sagging, create your own fashion. Somebody created that. Say, we don't like this music. This music is too dirty. Look at you. When you are bereft of your own opportunity to move 0 to 1, you are not criticizing people who respect their own agenda and have created something. If you don't like it, go and create your own. If you can't create your own, you shut up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Nobody's stopping you from creating yours. Create your own fashion. Give us the next level of the internet. Social media is too corrupt. I told a mom, I said, you keep harassing your boy. He wants to code. You stop him. He's asking for this type of laptop. You oppress him. But you are the same person that will come tomorrow and say, this Facebook. Maybe he's the one that will give us the next social media. You need to come down from this, your analog thinking, and understand that the world has changed. And allow this young boy to code and get him into a coding school. Say, no, you know, his father is a lawyer. You know, his mother is a lawyer. Okay. All the lawyers are working for all those who are coding now. Please, I'm not saying don't be a lawyer. Be a lawyer, be anything you want to be. But even as a lawyer, if you don't use technology to define the way you are doing your law, you will still be weak in the future. There's no such thing as a hospital anymore. What you have now is a tech company that is treating people. There's no such thing as a church saving people anymore. You are now a tech organization that is saving people. Everything is tech now. You are not a shoe making company. You are a tech organization making shoes. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Tech online is the line. Offline is back door to anything you are doing. Online is your front door. So you have to understand the dynamics of how softwares are changing in the world. Soft powers are becoming the new power. Am I helping you?
Yes, sir.
Now let me close. I'm really struggling, believe me. So this is it, guys. This is it. By the time you understand that human beings like you and I are sitting down to create experiences, your next statement should be, how do I be partakers of that? How do I join that? How do I begin to be a mover in that? Because the future is here. The only way we have to do that, somebody said, you know, all this nightclub, I said, let me tell you, the Christian life is a boring life. Just in case you don't know, I'm not going to fool you. What do you do? Vigil is your biggest fun. And then once in a while, praise worship. How does that really become the satisfaction of your soul? You need only alternatives to fun. Somebody said, I can't stay on TBN from morning till night. I'm not starved of the word. I read the Bible, I listen to messages. And then I said on television, he said, when you taste my own water, you will never be thirsty again. So I'm not supposed to be hungry looking for word everywhere. There's enough word. He said, who will go to heaven to bring it? Who will go to the abyss to go and descend? He said, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. So I can't stay on television all day watching word message. I need song. I need a movie. I need documentary. Life is a balance of fun time and serious exchange. It's not either. You need it too. You can't read the Bible all day. Something will enter you different. And if you do nothing but read the Bible all day, you will be poor. If you do nothing else and all you are doing is Bible study, you will be poor. If your greatest focus is prayer and you do nothing but pray, somebody better employ you as a prayer warrior or you will be poor. There are things you cannot delegate. God cannot help you cough. God cannot support you and help you use the restroom. You can't say he has come from a crusade, you know he's so tired, help him sleep. There's nothing like that. If you don't do it yourself, you will never experience them. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. I'm not interested in Caesar. I made Caesar. I can't compete with Caesar. I designed Caesar. And I say, give to Caesar what belongs to him. Just give you what belongs to me. The problem is, we don't know. Most people don't know what belongs on the list of Caesar. And we don't know what is on the list of what belongs to God. So we give to God what belongs to Caesar. We give to Caesar what belongs to God. So as young people, you have to come out of that reality and stay in the integrity of the truth that God has written for your future. And there are basic things you have to commit to. Basic things. The first one is fact-finding. Question everything. Everything must be questioned. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you understand, you will question it. In questioning it, what you are looking for is the loopholes in it. Did you read Ecclesiastes chapter 1?
Yes, sir.
Did you see when he said everything goes back on the circuit and comes to where it began? All of a sudden, you guys are wearing bell bottoms. We wore it in the 70s. Most of the hairstyles you are seeing today, they are invented hairstyles that we saw when we were young. Everything goes like it's new. It comes back to the old, reinvents itself, gets a different shape, and comes back into the new. All your clothes, afro, everything had been in the past, they are coming back again. And they will fade again. This is what Kid and Play used to wear when you were dancing. There's a group called Kid and Play. This is what they used to wear. This was in the 90s. Now it's back. Did you read that scripture that says, what will be, what has been is what will be? What has been is what will be. One word for what has been. One word. One word for what will be. What has been is what will be. What has been, past. What will be, future. Now use those two words to say the same statement. The past is the future. So, there's nothing new under the sun. Because new is old happening to new people. Old happened to new people. Let me show you. This wristwatch, the future of this wristwatch is in this wristwatch. iPhone 14 was amazing. But iPhone 15 was in iPhone 14 as a loophole, as an incompletion, as an imperfection. If the Garden of Eden was perfect, Satan would not be there. If Adam was perfect, evil would have been unnecessary. If tomorrow is enough, if today is enough, tomorrow will be unnecessary. The imperfection of a prevailing experience is the guarantee of the next level of that thing. The next level of a thing is hidden as an imperfection in the prevailing excellence of the thing. The future of this wristwatch is in this wristwatch already, but as an imperfection. The future of anything is in it. The future of an orange is in the orange as a seed. The future of a forest is a seed. The future of everything is not outside of it. The future of everything is in it. The future of you is inside of you. Everything. What you do is not to look for the future. If you want to be in the future and sit in the future, the beginning is to accept that there's no such thing as a future. You have never been in the future. How many of you have been in the future before? Today was once a future. Yesterday was a future. Every time you arrive in the future, you call it today. Today is all you've got. Check it out. When you say good morning, you are in the morning. You feel the coldness of the morning. You feel the cool breeze of the morning. When you are in the afternoon, you feel the heat. You know you are in the afternoon. You are not imagining it. It's a kinetic functional experience. You can feel it. When you say good evening, you are in the evening. Everywhere is dark. When you say good night or goodbye, somebody's living. Good life, somebody's breathing. You are experiencing it. Will you have the misfortune or the blessing of saying good future? Oh, hi, good future. Wow, we are in the future. Never. Every time you arrive in the future, you are going to call it today. Today is your critical platform of exchange. Yesterday is an experience. You can always create a new past With every today, lived intelligently. Tomorrow only lives in your head. In practical terms, there is no future. You will never arrive in the future. Tomorrow is an arrangement by God to keep hope meaningful, to keep energy live, to keep enthusiasm strong. In practical terms, you will never arrive in the future. The future exists in your head. And so, you don't create your future. Your future creates you. Your future creates today. It is what's in the future and your imagination of the future that governs what you do today. It's not the other way around. Because the future in your mind, you will never get to. The future will only be in your mind every time you arrive in the so-called future is now you are going to have. So the future is only in your head. But it's in your head enough to govern your actions and your thinking today. So that in that moment, you are building new todays and creating new past. You should never worry about your past, whatever is there. As you live each day intelligently, you feed your hard disk with new information, building a new past. After a while, all the old data will be pushed out to a corner you cannot even see that it's in there in your system, because new experience will be created. But the way to go forward is to learn to find the loopholes and the imperfection in the prevailing excellence of a thing. You want to have a stake in the future? Don't look for what is not working. Stop complaining. Nothing new comes from what is mediocre. Newness comes from excellence. It is the excellence of a thing. Listen, when you see imperfection, imperfection is not flawed. The only way we think about imperfection is flawedness. No, imperfection is also incompletion, room for improvement. So the same God who created the Garden of Eden that was supposed to be perfect said, nurture it, cultivate it, grow it, make it better. If it was perfect, one day of labor will be unnecessary. But it doesn't mean it was flawed. It was just a raw material awaiting refinement. So you can think 0 to 1, which is the energy that created the world. You can think 1 to infinity, which is somebody has to create something and then you innovate it. The one that birthed newness is 0 to 1. That 0 to 1 is old, happening to new people. The Bible said, have you seen anything to which it can be said, see, this is new? He said, it has existed in ancient times before us. So glass was in the Garden of Eden as sand. The understanding to heat it, to make it glass, was not there. But glass, the future of sand was glass. And glass was in the sand. And when a generation came who could question what was old and what is working, they birthed glass out of it. Plastic was in the rubber. Rubber is natural. Plastic is not natural. But if you go to camp around a loophole or an imperfection, you will birth the next level of it. So the way it works is to find something amazing like this watch, go around it, find the incompletion in it, build solution blueprints around that imperfection to determine the next level of that thing. Tomorrow's people, young people, we have nothing to do if your fathers were perfect. Stop criticizing, start learning and building. The imperfection of your fathers is the guarantee of continuity and engagement in your own generation. If they are not imperfect, you have nothing to do. If today was perfect, the world will end tomorrow. So imperfections are gifts for human beings to use the God-given brain to test the next level of experiences. So get engaged. Start building. Study everything. Question everything. Look at systems. The next level of your choir is in the choir. If you study the choir very well and the best is in the choir, you will find the next level of the choir there. The next level of church is in the church. If you study what is working in the church, not what is not working. Study what is working, find the incompletion in what is working. You find the next level of it. That's how to invent. All inventors know this. All disruptors know this. You want to be a billionaire in the world today? Whatever you are experiencing, eliminate the middleman. Make it available to everybody. You'll be a billionaire. Call it DoorDash. Call it Amazon. It's just, call it Uber. They are just eliminating the middleman and making it available to all. That's billions. Are you clear? First level of duty. If you can't question and create newness, newness is old happening to new people. Hard wisdom to no knowledge. You bad newness. That's how to do it. K Keep that in your life. That's what Solomon meant when he said, I have searched across the world. I'm king in Israel, but I search everything under the sun. Question everything. Keep researching. It's called research and development. The poorest countries invest the lowest in research and development. The richest country invest the highest. So get into it. Start studying. Number two, get into the word. And I'm really closing. I'll do this in 5 minutes. Get into the word. No matter what you do, young people, don't be deceived. The word of God is your strength. Matthew 22:29. He said, you are in error not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Error is traceable to inaccurate knowledge of scripture. Hebrews 1:1 says, in time past, he has spoken to us through the Father, through the prophets. He said, but now he speaks to us expressly through his Son. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among men. He said, he opposed all things, not some things, all things by the word of his power. Stay in the word. And let me give you a key. When you read the Bible, don't try to understand what's there. Just read. Just pray to God and read. It's not a textbook. It's not a test of recall. The goal of knowledge is not recall. It's transformation. And so when you read, even if you finish and you say, what did I read and you can't understand? It's okay. You're not supposed to understand necessarily. You're not supposed to remember it. Just stay in the word. It's the washing of the water by the word. If you put a dirty cup here with all kind of particles in it and you put black water inside it and the whole thing is black, how do you get it to be clean and white again? You don't even need to touch the cup. You don't even need to rinse the cup. Just get clean water and keep pouring it into the cup and keep pouring it to overflow. Everything black will come out of it. The glass will become clean. You didn't touch that. What you need in your life is not struggle. Stop condemning yourself. I need to be good. I need to stop lying. I need to be truthful. I need to stop fornicating. I need to stop touching babes. I need to stop kissing. I need to stop. You don't need to stop. Listen to me. You don't need to stop because you can't really stop. If you can stop, you don't need Jesus. You should have fixed yourself all these years. The knowledge of sin is clear. What people miss is the power over sin. And power over sin is in the word of God. You stay in the word. The transformation you experience is not your working, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Stay in the word. You are being cleansed by the renewing of the renewing of your mind. The washing of the water by the word. He said you are cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. So stay in the word. Just stay there. Keep reading. Your resolve, your determination will all fly and make sense when you stay in the activator of your own power, the word of God by the Spirit. Now let me shock you. You will be reading the word of God. You will see things. You will see things you didn't study. Because no matter how much you read the Bible, whatever you read is a point of contact. More is sent your way for staying in his presence than you can ever study. You will always know more than you can ever study. And I know that for sure. There are things I say I didn't read anywhere. I know that is him working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, if you finish reading the Bible and you can't remember what you read, you are still fine. If you can remember, awesome. If you can't remember, it's good. The discipline is to stay in God's presence. It will look like you have forgotten. And it's okay for your brain to miss it. But your spirit is not missing it. In the day of contradiction, in the day of war, in the day of battle, in the day of controversy, it will rise out of you. The Holy Ghost will raise a standard. And when it rises, it may not rise as a confession. It may not rise as a scripture. It may rise as a resolve. It may rise as anger. It may rise as a look. It may rise as a countenance. But it will rise out of you. But you will not find life in your Christian life just as the fish will not find life out of water. Stay in the word of God. Somebody said, PK, I admire you so much. The way you do it, the way you do that. I said, well, many things I've done, but let me tell you one. I've read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, over 40 times. Cover to cover. 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. You finish it every year. 6 chapters a day, 10 on Sunday. You finish it every 6 months, young people. 12 a day, 20 on Sunday. You finish it every 3 months. For the past 15 years, 20 years of my life, I finished the scripture, Genesis to Revelation, time and again. By the end of this year, I'll finish it twice or thrice in two different translations. Every day of my life, I state my lowest Bible study behavior is a chapter of Proverbs before I go to bed. Every night is default. I've read the chapter of Proverbs. I've read the whole book of Proverbs in like 15 different translations. A chapter of Proverbs every night is 31 chapters. You finish it every month. At the end of the year, you finish it every 12. You finish 12 times. Every morning when I get up, before I touch my phone, before I do anything, I pray to Holy Spirit. Gentle prayer is a simple conversation. I don't need to fall down, jumping around. Thank you, Father. You know, I pick my phone. I open to Ecclesiastes. When I wake up, I take a chapter of Ecclesiastes. Boom. It's 12 chapters. Every 24 days, I finish it twice. At the end of the year, I'll finish it 24 times. Minimum Bible study behavior. That is, I am busy. I can't go. I've been traveling. I can't read the Bible. I don't have time. I will take those two. It's not coincidence that we are here. This is the habit that you have. If I'm not going to build kingdom habits, then go and you're compromising. Better go and look for a godfather out there. Or go and find one shrine. Or one baba that will help you in one corner. If they can. But when you really mature, you realize that your greatest discipline is in God's presence. Say, Martha, Martha, why do you bother yourself with this many things? Only one thing is important, which Mary has found. Stay in his presence. Number three. Okay, before I leave that one, I tell you, don't start with three verses. Maybe if you can, start with a verse. Two. Faithfulness in little brings more. Read one verse and really enjoy it. You see, tomorrow, a part of you want to read two verses. Three verses. And don't go and start with some very complex books like Nahum or... You can just start Leviticus, Numbers. You can just start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, the New Testament, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, they help. All right? Okay, I need to say that. Number three, pray in the Holy Ghost. How many of you can pray in tongues? Praying in the Spirit, if you can't, find one of the pastors and let them know, I can't, I need to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a gift and it's encryption. Have you read the scripture that says, he that speaketh in tongues speaketh not to man, for no one understand. Albeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's encryption right there. That's encryption before technology found it. It's a coded conversation between two ends. You see what I'm saying? That's encryption. So get into that. Now, at the Tower of Babel, that's the story we read. The instruction was spread horizontally. They said, we will spread vertically. We will go to heaven. He said, no, you will come to heaven. I have no problem with you coming to heaven, but it's not a plan now. The plan now is to fill the air. They said, we must come to heaven. They scattered their language. And when their language was scattered, they said they could not understand again. And they could not grow again because each one of them were now busy trying to understand each other. Have you noticed that the poorest countries have many languages? No. I kid you not. Hello? Hello? The most prosperous countries are dealing with one. Max, two. The poorest, Nigeria has over 200. So there's a lot you are struggling with in America. Two brothers are governors in two different states. One is a governor in Texas, one is a governor in Florida. Was a governor in Florida, right? It can't happen in Nigeria. Same mother, same father. Governor in two different states. It can't happen here. Why? Because over there, there's no indigenization. They've legislated it. Everybody's an American or you are a nobody. Here, you are first of all an Ijebu man before you are from Ogun State. Then you are from Ogun State before you are a Yoruba man. Then you are a Yoruba man before you are a Nigerian. Look at the gap. So you are struggling with that. The United Nations will struggle. It was League of Nations, it's UN. It can't unite the world. Because diversity of language was not given to man to unite us. God gave it to man to limit us. And to scatter us. Two things were in Genesis 11, collaborative potential, imaginative capability. And they said, with those two, nothing they want to do will be withheld from them. So when they scattered their language, what they lost was imaginative strength, collaborative potential. That's what they lost. Now, everything in the old is a shadow of what is in the new. So the new is the completion of the old. And so this speaking in tongues that you talk about, that is the redemption for what happened at Genesis 11. So now, when you speak in tongues, we are back to one language, one God, right? So when you are saying Nibro Sakayina Kusa, you are back to that imaginative zone and that collaborative zone. You are in a miracle moment every time you say that. That was the zone they were in when they said nothing they will want to do will be withheld from them. Every time you say Nibro Sakayiba Kisa, you are back in that zone where your imagination and your collaboration is unlimited. You cannot be conquered. You cannot be defeated. So it's not what you do polishing your shoe. Nibro Santara Baba. That's not what you do. Even if you do it for 1 minute, I'd rather have you do it for 1 minute, focused, and say, Limba Shop. When you are doing this with groaning too deep for words, get into it. You will see the cure to cancer as a pharmacist appearing to you in a minute. You will see the next level of the internet appearing to you after 5 minutes of Nibro Sakia Misakia. The next time you are going to pitch, don't just go with your brain. As you are going under your tongue, Nibro Satia Basika, you are coming into a zone. Genesis 11 is back on a higher dimension. Have you heard me? Never allow one day go without you staying in the spirit. See that first one I gave you about looking for loopholes? When you speak in tongues, you will see them clearly. It's not what you do casually. Get busy speaking in tongues. The most effective apostle said, Apostle Paul, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Get into it. Your next investor is waiting for you already. You've been running up and down because your brain is busy. Keep your brain. It's very important because it's your most spiritual organ. Your brain is more spiritual and valuable than your spirit. Because if you don't have a spirit and you are reprobate and you are a sinner, you can still be a billionaire, as you can see in the world. If your brain is dead, your spirit is dead. You are useless to God. You are useless to the devil. The only advantage the devil has is that you are useless. If your brain can't work, you are a vegetable. You are not different from this phone. In fact, the phone is better. You are only different from a stone. You are a stone that can breathe. Once a brain is dead, it's like a stone that can breathe. You can't do nothing. They call it vegetable. You are just on one spot. So your brain is very spiritual. It's God-given, by the way. Are you here? So you got to use it. But under God. Under God. Have I helped you? The first one, question everything. The second one, stay in the word. The third one, stay in the spirit and pray in the spirit. Nebo Sakia. Did you understand it? Rise to your feet, everybody. I want to pray for you. I want to pray. I want to pray. Symbolically, I want you to put your hand on your chest this way. Just put your hand this way. Put your hand this way. I want to pray. Put it this way. You know what I want to pray for you? I want to pray wisdom for you. The Bible says wisdom and understanding shall be the stability of thy times, the strength of salvation. More than anything in this world, you need wisdom. You need wisdom to pray. You need wisdom to fast. You need wisdom to study. You need wisdom for everything. It's a principal thing. Without wisdom, you can't do nothing meaningful. So he didn't put any condition before it. He said, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who give liberally without condition. Because he can't put any condition in the access to wisdom. Because with wisdom, you do everything. If he needs you to do everything, even in his presence, you need wisdom. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
The first thing I want to pray for is wisdom for the practice of God's presence. Listen. Somebody is in church. Your girlfriend tell you, touch me, kiss me, put your hands on me. Say, no, are you crazy? We are in church. I can't touch you in church. Are you all right? Say, touch me. Say, no, I can't touch you. Say, kiss me, smush me. Put your hand under my blouse. Are you mad? We are in church. I can't do that. I can't. I'm not even sure God called you to me. This is church. And then they leave church. And then they get home and say, Kemi, what were you saying? You say, I should touch you in church? Are you all right? I mean, I understand that we do stuff, but in church? Don't ever try that with me again. Not in church. We are come. I want to pray. There's a reason I'm saying this. I want to pray. I know it's funny, but I want to pray. In church, he could not touch her. He resisted her. Nonsense. Now they are home. He can do it. Because when he was in church, he wasn't about church. He wasn't about God. Because the same God who was in church is in him. And the same God in him is there with him in that house. Do you know when you are kissing a girl, God is watching you? Because some of you think God is not there. He's there. He's watching you. He's omnipresent. As somebody is watching you, he's watching you like this. As you are stealing, God is there like this. And the Spirit of God does not strive with man. So it's with you there. You see somebody who can never touch a bottle of beer in church. Then at home, he can open 4 bottles. Because somewhere in his mind, when he's in church, it's not about God, it's about an idea of God. He knows of God, he knows about God, he does not know God. And so when he's back at home, the same thing happens. God is the same. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of God? The same God in church is with you. In fact, you brought him to church. When we leave here, maybe Obonis are coming here tomorrow. Maybe last night, witches were here to do their meeting physically. Or Obonis, or prostitutes, or armed robbers. We don't even know who came here last night. But we are here and God is here. When we leave, we go with him. When we are back, we bring him back. We are the temple, not this building. For God no longer dwells with temples, but with hands. Are we on the same page?
Yes, sir.
So why did I say that? You need the wisdom to practice God's presence. When you are in the boardroom, it's there. You are culture shapers, guys. When you are in church, you are assisted to feel God. There's keyboard, there's worship leader. Pastor has prayed well before he came to service. There's a prayer group praying somewhere. There are people doing all of that. So God can move easily. You see, in your office, there's no keyboard. There's no worship leader. The person in front of you is the most promiscuous human being. The one on the left is a ritualist. The one here is a chronic liar. The whole environment is textured for mediocrity and sin. Yet the Holy Ghost is there with you. He's about to pass information to you. You can't see him. You can't hear him. Because you are busy trying to reenact the energy of church. So you want to hear the Holy Ghost in church the same way you hear him in the culture? No. Holy Ghost in the culture speaks differently than Holy Ghost in the church. Holy Ghost in the church is easier for pastor to connect. Easier for you to connect. But in the culture, the whole environment is filled with sin. You are the only conduit. So God can speak to you and you don't need to feel nothing. It could be a paper on the floor. It could be a painting on the wall. It could be a consciousness. It could be anything. But no matter where you are, even in a nightclub with 300 women, you will hear God and hear him clearly. But you must learn to practice God's presence in the little things. So this is the prayer point. This is a very important prayer point. I travel around the world when I'm praying for young people. I pray this wisdom. Now put your hands here. Heavenly Father, your word says that our eyes are blessed because they see. See, our ears are blessed because they hear. To us it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say, know ye not that ye are gods, to whom the kingdom of God has been revealed. Say, but they fall like mere men. They die like one of the princes. Say, the Lord has made you head over the people, head over the nations. A people you do not know will serve you. As soon as they hear you, they obey you. Foreigners will submit to you. Come trembling out of their fortresses. Kings are coming to the brightness of your rising, with their gold and their silver with them. They lead in procession to honor the hand of God upon your life. Listen, receive the wisdom to stay and order your step in his presence. Wisdom. In his word, he said, order my steps in your word. You will stay in God's word. You will see his priorities. You will understand them. You will pursue them. The Lord will show you models. He will show you his word in the culture. You will see the next products, the next services, the next level of social media will be revealed to you. The cure to diabetes will be revealed to you as a pharmacist. You will see the next level of the internet. You will grow fingers. You will see the power of AI. You will lead it. Machine learning, you will lead it. You will code at the highest level. Give us experiences we never thought possible. You will do your 0 to 1 by the Spirit. You will come into zones unprecedented. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. All that God has designed, reserved, curated, architected for you in the name of Jesus. You will hear him. You will understand the journey of him. You will practice his presence. You will manifest it. You will perfect it by his Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and glory. We worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.